Welcome to Hammer Dad.
Dad.
The number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the Pat McAfee Inc. offices. I am your host, Tone Diggs. I am joined in studio by Bubba Gumpy.
Good day, Tony.
Good day to you, sir. Pat will be in here in a second. And host of the Lombardi Line, the GM Shuffle Pod, writes for The Athletic and The Daily Coach, Mr. Michael Lombardi. How are you today, sir?
I'm good, Tone. How we doing, guy? We good?
I think we're good. We're looking at this week's lines. I kind of told Gumpy some things that I was thinking about this week. He didn't agree with me, so that'll make a good show, I think. But I feel good. Can you throw up our records, please, Mr. McMahon, to display how we've been doing on the year? All right, I am 17-10. Pat is still the leader at 20-10. Gumpy is 16-14. And Mr. Lombardi, you are currently at 7-8. A lot of season left to go. Which leads me into our first thing of the day. Our apologies. Actually, Gump and I should probably apologize to you and Pat because we talked you into the Bills potentially. But as a show, we kind of all took the Bills, and we need to apologize. And what did you think about that game, Mr. Lombardi?
I thought it was the last time I'm going against my numbers. I lost the Charger game, and I lost that game on my numbers. I was surprised at the execution of Tennessee without practice. And I think the Josh Allen conversation for MVP, we could slow that down a little
what
bit.
What do you mean,
oh,
Mike?
Whoa,
what do
whoa.
You mean?
But more than anything, I think that and that game really made me on my board. I think you really got to take these injuries into account. I mean, they missed both starting corners in the game, which really hurt them.
Well, the Bills also slow played us on that, Mike. They didn't announce that until right before game time.
What are we supposed to do?
I know, and this is the killer of the seat. Like, you got to give a grade at least. Like, let's take, last week I liked Indy against the Browns. I didn't realize Costanza wasn't playing, but you guys told me he was after I gave them. There's so many of these that go on. You got to do a really good job of digging these injuries out. Like, okay, Odell Beckham, we left practice today. Landry's hurt. Baker's got a bad rib. I don't know. I think that game taught me that. They didn't have Milano. They didn't have John Brown. They didn't have the two starting corners. I don't know if that was really Buffalo's team.
Let me tell you about what happened on this show, Paizan. You and I both got convinced by some nukes to our left from our Canadian friend who does a deep dive into the analytics of things, and our Italian friend, and also for the good of the league, Gumpy said, for the good of the league.
For the good of the league. For the good of the league.
And on the other side here, I think same exact feeling for the good of the league, and we got talked to it, and we did a team bet. And listen, that's you got to do a team bet every once in a while. But I think what I learned there was – hey, that's gambling, baby. Nobody could have guessed that was going to happen. Nobody could have guessed that a team that didn't practice for 2 weeks, Paizan, 2 weeks. Is practice overrated? A lot of people are asking, could any team have done what they did? Who knows? But what an ass beating by the Titans. And I think for me, I think what it did is it elevated the Titans in my eyes because of what they were able to do last year. I thought maybe they won't be able to repeat it. It elevated them, even though there's been a lot of PR damage potentially because of COVID outbreak. And for the Bills, we can't overreact. Remember, you said this last show. Mm-hmm. We can't overreact to this one game. We have to take them for their full body of work. I think they bounce back. I don't think we should put them on the do not bet list. But, boy, we have to reconsider some things whenever we're talking about them.
And until they get healthy, I'm not going to put them on the do not bet list. Bet list, because they're not healthy. Whether we know Josh Norman can't cover. I mean, can you imagine how they're going to cover Kansas City this week with their corner situation where it is? That's got to worry a little bit.
Their Chiefs are down to minus 3.5.
Pat's already rethinking his. Well, let's take it easy on the Bills. It doesn't mean we automatically bet on the Chiefs.
Mahomes is 9-3-1 against the spread on primetime. I mean, you can't think the Chiefs are going to lose twice in a row.
And here's
they did last year. They lost to Indy and they lost to Houston back to back. They're not playing good enough on defense. But that being said, Gump, Buffalo, if they don't have Milano, they don't have those corners, they don't have John Brown, it's a hard game for them to come in there and win. Because they can play a track meet against anybody. The other thing, Pat, I think you're right. I think Tennessee, I think Arthur Smith does a great job calling plays, and I think they're really well coached. I don't think they're good on defense, but I think they're really well coached.
And here's a reason why I'm upset. I was just so focused on the number going from 3.5 to 3. and I told the people where the money was, but I didn't actually look myself because the 65% of the money was on the Bills.
It's true, yeah.
But then the number went to a key, like the books let the number go from 3.5 to 3, got better for the Bills, even though all the money was on the Bills. That should have been a key indicator, and I fucked up. Hand up.
But how do those people know? I fucked up. How do those people know?
I think all the money talk during the week is just, it's really noise.
Okay.
I think these sharps are not playing games until Sunday.
Well, we did.
They don't want to put money out there until they know who's playing.
I agree with you. I agree with you for sure. But we did that show day of, so.
And I mean, with all due respect.
Josh Applebaum, who was on my show, he was hitting that hard that it went from 3.5 to 3, and everybody was betting the Bills.
With all due respect, Mike, I mean, we can talk about numbers, everything. The Bills let down the entire National Football League.
Can't account for that. That's something we have to think about.
That is something we have to think about. Speaking of the Bills, speaking of the Chiefs, Michael, do you think, what do you make of the Le'Veon Bell situation, and where do you think may potentially be a good fit for him?
Well, he came out today and said it's what, the Bills, Chiefs, or Miami?
Yes.
You know, apparently, and then the Chiefs thought they had a deal with them, and then I just read that he basically, they don't have a deal with them. I mean, I text somebody in Buffalo how if they were in it, and he said he would give me a call tonight, so... That means they must be in it pretty good. Miami.
There was a tweet from Garofalo that Dolphins are offering the most money.
I could believe it, yeah. But I don't know if they have to, you know, to me, I'd have to know the contract. So you can't double dip in the NFL. So if they offered him the most money, he still has to give it back to the Jets on an offset.
Yeah, what the offset, $6 million. So every team is probably going to offer him, what, league min, and let the Jets pay for the rest?
Yeah, I mean, that's right. So if you say you sign him for the minimum, then the Jets owe him $5 million. But if you sign him for $3 million, you take the Jets off the hook, you know? And that's why I don't, you know, that's an interesting one. Unless you sign him for 2 years and you give him a bunch of money next year.
I didn't even think about that.
But then you're automatically assuming that this is 2017 Le'Veon Bell still. Mm-hmm. And we're not 100% sure if he is. I assume he is, but we're not 100% sure if he is. I am very eager to see where he ends up because I think he makes team better immediately if he is 2017 Le'Veon Bell in a good situation where he has to prove himself again and he's out from underneath that Gase umbrella, which we have seen time and time again. When players get out from underneath Adam Gase, they become their players that they're always supposed to be. Maybe Le'Veon Bell will do that. Him to the Chiefs. You know,
if he went to Buffalo, I mean, I think anywhere he goes, he's going to be a viable receiver coming out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why I think the Bucs would want him. I mean, the Bucs use Ronald Jones, but I mean, if they had Le'Veon Bell to be the guy to run all the option routes, I mean, Le'Veon Bell can line up at receiver and still make plays.
That's why I think he would fit with the Dolphins, Mike, because they don't have that many weapons out there.
That's right. I do too. I mean, he fits. And Pat's right. I don't know what I saw on Sunday against the Cardinals was a pretty good Le'Veon Bell. That offense is so bad, he still had a little juice left in him that I would think.
How come Tampa isn't in the conversation, you think? Just because they have so many running backs and they have no money, you would assume? Because I just assumed veteran player is available, is free, go Super Bowl ring chase. Where do you do that? I guess Kansas City would be a great place to do it. Tom Brady's a place to do it. Patriots are a place to do it. But we haven't really heard much from Tampa or the Patriots, I guess, as of today, allegedly, according to Jeremy Fowler.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they signed LeSean McCoy for that role, so they probably feel like we already got a guy for that role. But you and I both know McCoy might be done. Andy Reid was activating him last year when he was healthy, that Le'Veon's better than him.
Yeah.
And if you got to pay him nothing, why not? $800,000, $850,000.
But I think there's something going on here. I mean, even if you pay him nothing and you pay him, you pay him $3 million roster bonus next year, you know, I mean, and you guarantee the roster bonus. See, everybody's scared about next year's cap because it's going down and everybody's costs are going up.
All right, Michael, moving on. I had a question from a fan or from a listener, and I thought it was a good question. You had brought up the Dolphins playing that cover three back-to-back weeks against Seattle and then the 49ers. So yep. Is it the same situation now for the Vikings who just played Seattle and now they go down to Atlanta? Now Dan Quinn's not there anymore. Are they still going to be playing that Dan Quinn Seattle defense? And do the Vikings have an advantage because of that reason this week?
They sure do. They really do. And and Raheem will try to run more zone blitzes, but Atlanta's personnel is so bad. Fowler could be questionable. I have Atlanta as a C injury team right now with Fowler hurt. They've got a bunch of guys beat up. So
you said it.
Yeah, I think that'll be a smooth. And if Dalvin Cook can play, which they say he will, yeah, I think so. I think Minnesota's going to take their frustrations out on that.
Why do you think that line's so low, Mike? I feel like that should be a lot higher.
I don't know why. I mean, I had it as a 5.1 line. The line came out at 4. I think it's the Vikings win. They, you know, I think Atlanta's not very good. I think there's a perception that Atlanta has. Julio's probably not going to play.
No.
Go over Atlanta's injury list. I mean, it's just there's a lot of guys hurt there, and I think probably they think, well, momentum of they're going to play better because they got a new coach like Houston did last week. Maybe that's why.
No, very different situations, I think. Very, very different situations.
I do too.
Yes.
I don't think the team hated Dan Quinn. I think the team was bothered by Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of guys in Atlanta that just don't want to be in Atlanta either.
Yeah. I think they know they're not. I think there's – like the Jets know they're no good. Like the players on the Jets know they're not.
Hey, I'm hearing – I think
Texas teams, like we stink.
I think we just lost you there for a second, which, by the way, great to have you back. It's always great whenever you're back. I'm hearing from sources
– yeah, you are
– that the Jets are legitimately, like not even like quietly, like legitimately attempting to go 0-16 to get Trevor Lawrence. Like I think – I've been told – and I didn't even know that was possible because players are always going to play their absolute – best trying to make as much money as possible and all that shit. But it feels like we are potentially watching a team legitimately try to suck and knowing that they're legitimately trying to suck in the middle of it here with this Jets team all of a sudden.
Well, look at it. I mean, like, so I like Miami in this game. I have Miami. Miami should be a, you know, I have them, their favorite. I have it at almost like Miami should almost be an 11-point favorite in this game.
Currently 9.5.
And I said, can that really be the case? Go look at the Jets depth chart. Frank Gore's their running back. I mean, they're going to run Frank Gore. They don't have any receivers. Chris Hogan even got hurt for them. I mean, Perryman's not going to play. No, they're a C. I have them as graded as a C team on the injury list this week.
I like that you've added the injury list. I really do.
Smart.
It's hey, smart. You adapt or die.
But hold on. How do we add C into the numbers that you're doing? Like, I don't understand.
Well, I look at the number. I mean, like, if I think I like a team that's a C team on injury, like, okay, I'll give you an example.
Oh, I got you.
Jacksonville, Detroit. Here's a question to ponder for you three. So the Florida teams are playing home. Jacksonville, Tampa, Miami. Which team is going to wilt in the fourth quarter that plays them? All the teams they're playing are from the north. Mm-hmm. Green Bay, the Jets, and
Lions.
Detroit. All right, but the only game that's at 1 o'clock is Jacksonville Detroit. Okay.
Okay.
And it's going to be 82 degrees, hot, humid, and Detroit's been playing. You know, they don't have hot and humid in Detroit right now. So I like Jacksonville in this game. I do, but I have Jacksonville's injury list is really fairly significant. Both receivers, you know, the kid from Colorado and DJ Chark are hurt. Mm-hmm. So I'm worried about siding with Jacksonville in this game.
So it's you're using it as I like
that's
Jacksonville.
That's how I take the injury list and apply it to the number.
Yeah, so we talk about it on the show all the time. You like Jacksonville, but there's games that you talk about. Half of gambling is getting rid of games. So that'll be a game that you get rid of because you like Jacksonville, but you haven't graded a C on the injury, so you just kind of have as a no play, correct?
Right. That's right. And I mean, I want to play Jacksonville because I think Detroit will melt in the fourth quarter like they did against Chicago.
Everyone.
I mean, I don't think they'll be in great shape coming off the bye. You know, I think Jacksonville, you know, people say, well, Jacksonville's no good. Well, I mean, that game against Houston was a lot closer than the score when you watch it.
Michael, we're gonna hang up on you real quick and call you back to see if we get a better connection.
All right,
bye-bye. By the way, I completely forgot what he was talking about with the injury grade thing, and he did like for instance, and then he went into that whole Jacksonville thing. I almost just hammered the Jaguars +3.5 with everything he said, and then he quickly said, but their injury thing. I'm like, whoa. Okay, because whenever he starts talking about things, it's all a very compelling argument. Like that Vikings and Atlanta thing, That situation with the Atlanta Falcons is so much different than the Texans. Just by the way, we're not in there, so we don't know. But looking from outside in, the motivation of the players in the Texans was, we just got this guy out of here. We can't embarrass ourselves. Because if you ask for something, then you get it, and then you still fuck it up, it's hard to speak about it at all. For the Falcons, I didn't get that feeling, right? So that was – it's a very – I like the Vikings down there against Falcons, by the way. And the Vikings are a very good team that just – for some reason, aren't winning games or
so
whatever.
You've been in a locker room. My only worry about the Vikings this week was they had a demoralizing loss on, was that Sunday night?
Sunday night, yeah.
And now they're 1-4, but they don't think they're dead at 1-4.
I think that was almost
they?
We were in it with one of the best teams in the NFL, for me anyways. That's how I feel.
I'm not sure if that's how they're thinking or not, but the big thing with Thielen, when they won that game, he was talking about how much fun they're having and how all that shit. I think that team is a pretty mentally tough team. Like, I think even though they lost on primetime in a terrible fashion, I think they'll bounce back big. And I'm saying that strictly maybe because I just max bet it whenever we were talking about it there earlier, but also because I do like that Vikings team. Like, I think that Vikings team is a good team. They're one of those teams that doesn't have a good record that I think are good, a la what the Cardinals were last year. Whenever we were watching the Cardinals, I was like, that team's a pretty good team. And at the end of the season, they were giving people problems, which we all I think that's what the Vikings are going to be this particular season.
And whether Dalvin Cook plays or not, I mean, Madison is a decent backup. He's not good. He's not Dalvin Cook, and he didn't get a yard or half a yard or an eighth.
I think the other thing to add in this game is Atlanta's defensive front won't give Minnesota's bad offensive line trouble. You know, Minnesota has trouble when they play against good fronts. Yeah. Like, Seattle doesn't have a good front. Atlanta doesn't have a good front, whether Fowler plays or not. They don't have a good front, or McKinley plays. They don't have a good front. So they'll be able, and Atlanta has no corners. They can't cover anybody.
All right, I wanted to get in today, since there's no game tonight. We won't be talking about a game tonight. Some of the more interesting games this weekend. I want to start Bears at Panthers. Panthers are -1.5. I want to take the Panthers.
That but sounded like
I couldn't get a great read on this game. What are your thoughts on this game, Michael?
Well, I think the Panthers, you got to really check their injury list, right? So the best rusher, Burns, the kid drafted in the first round, he had a concussion last week. Their best corner, Jackson, got carted off last week with a calf injury. I don't know if he'll come back. They just put Kawan Short on IR because he's one of their best defensive players. Mm. So there's a lot of injuries that make me worry about it. And the Bears have that Green Bay Packer horseshoe that Green Bay had last year. They may not be any good, but they keep winning games. Mm-hmm. And they scare me. And then when I look at my line says it should be 2. The line is what? 1.5, 2. So it's a stay away from me.
Yeah, so if you look at Brian Burns is out. Yeter Grasmotos is out. Kawan Short is out. Eli Apple didn't practice. Like, yeah, they do have quite a few injuries on that game.
Does it feel like you crack the code when your number matches their number?
Yeah, well, I feel like that's a stay-away game for me.
Yeah, that's going to feel pretty good if you put together this entire thing and then your numbers add up and it's like, boom, exactly what they're doing. That has to give you a little bit of a, yeah, they're doing the same thing I'm doing. Yeah,
but like the idiot that I am, when I don't pay attention to it, I'm an idiot. You know, then I just, you know, like, what good is doing it? You know, it's like, what am I doing it for if I don't pay attention to it? You know, if I let myself get, and that's where I think this movement has created, we're talking so much about the Monday through Friday movement. That I think it's noise. Mm-hmm. I really think it's noise. And I think we have to kind of separate it. Like the lines, for example, this week, the San Francisco line was at 3.5, went to 3. What other line was at 3 that went to the Browns line, that moved, right? So everybody's on the Browns because they think all the sharps are on the Browns. Mm-hmm. And then there was one other line that was 3 moved.
The Texans and Titans is one of those lines this week.
They moved, and then the Detroit line was 4, and it moved to 3.5. Mm-hmm. So, like, and I can't imagine that if you're betting $100,000 or $200,000 on a specific game, you're doing it on a Wednesday or a Tuesday when the starting quarterback could have COVID and you'd be screwed.
You think the sports books are potentially baiting people into thinking that the sharps are coming in to get them on something? They would, wouldn't they? You Italians think of everything.
They would.
I think you got to be careful with it. I think it's noise, and Tone looks at the same numbers I'm looking at. There's numbers where teams have no money on Monday through Friday, and then on Sunday morning, their numbers were shot through the roof. Well, that ain't $5 bets. That's not that old lady in Des Moines making that line move. I can tell you that.
Yeah. So I mean, you just talked about Steelers and Browns. So the Steelers have 80% of the money, and they opened it at -5.5. So you would think if they have 80% of the money that they would potentially go up to 6 or up to 6.5. It's dropped to 3.5. So that's what you were talking about, people thinking that sharps are on Browns, and that's why the line's going that way. Say Odell's healthy and Jarvis and Baker play. What do you think about that game, which, fun fact, the Browns haven't won in Pittsburgh since, I believe, 2003, 16 straight games?
Right. So I had the line. My line was 5-4-3 on that game. You guys got to send me your email so I could send you this.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'd like to be on the email list, yeah.
Yeah, and so, but anyway,
send me shit. You know my email.
Let's break this game down from a football standpoint, right? So the hardest team to run the ball on is the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can't run, and it's really hard to run the ball on them when you're in base.
1.4 in base.
When you're in 21 personnel, two backs, one tight end, you can't run the ball on them. When you're in 12 personnel, you have a hard time running the ball because they don't really go to nickel against you. Last week, the Eagles ran the long run, Miles Sanders, 75 yards out of spread.
Missed
out of
tackle.
Nickel, right?
Yep.
And they ended up with less than 100 yards rushing for the game. Hard to run the ball. Cleveland needs to run the ball. They have to run the ball on a team. And when you go back and study the San Francisco's, all the teams that run what Cleveland runs offensively, they do struggle a little bit to run the ball. And if Baker has to stay in the pocket and he has to play small, meaning he has to make all his throws from behind center, I think it's a problem. I do. And I think that the Browns defense, Myles Garrett's a great player, Olivier Vernon's playing much better. But this secondary, I think the Steelers can attack. So I think it's a close game. I had it at 5.3, but my sense of it is that, you know, I'm leaning towards taking Pittsburgh. Again, I want to wait and see. Cleveland's a C injury team for me. Uh-huh. Pittsburgh's an A.
Yeah, so to your point, I think I saw Steelers in their base D are 1 point. They're going to have 1.4 yards a carry in their base D. And the reason why they're so good, in my opinion, when they're actually in the nickel, even when they go to nickel, is because Mike Hilton is one of the best run-stopping corners and slot corners in all the league. I will be interested to see how Baker plays if that run game does not get going.
That's where all the people betting Cleveland are saying that Baker can throw it 40 times and beat you. And if Landry's not healthy, and if, you know, and can they protect the right guard, the left guard, Wyatt, that kid's out too. Can they protect well enough against Watt and against Dupree? I mean, it's a hard thing to do. I mean, look, on my here, when you go through O-lines, you know, Cleveland's O-line is ranked 10th in terms of pressures allowed, which is really good. But when you see defensive sack per plays, right, mm-hmm. Pittsburgh's the best team in football at one.
Well, even when Baker only had to throw it a little bit last week, Mike, I mean, he still threw a pick and one where Hook, he dropped it as well.
I mean, yeah, if Indy could have done anything in the second
they
half.
They couldn't.
I mean, think about this. Indy only had the ball 10 minutes in the first half last week, and they scored 10 points. They got a point per minute.
Pat, what do you think about this game?
It's actually going to be my super boost lock tomorrow. Pittsburgh Steelers at -3 or -2.5 if it moves to there, because it was one from 3.5 down if it continues to move. That's my super boost. I like it a lot. The Pittsburgh Steelers are a team that I don't think are getting enough respect. I like the Browns. I like the dog pound. But this Pittsburgh Steelers team, I just think, is so damn good. And they cover. That's what they do. They do what they're supposed to do. And it might get a little shaky. I mean, they let the Eagles back in it at the end of the game. But I just trust that defensive line, because I know in the world that we're in, if you have a good defensive line, it is trouble. And that defensive line for the Steelers, each one of them seems to want to outdo each other. And T.J. Watt is a fucking game wrecker. And on the offensive side, Ben Roethlisberger is going to Ben Roethlisberger. They're going to succeed. It might look ugly early. Might do that thing. Even though Myles Garrett is a game wrecker, I think they'll handle him better than the Colts did. Hopefully they'll chip him if need be, that the Colts did not do one time. What are we doing? So I think the Steelers win this game and make it 17 straight in Pittsburgh, and it's actually my super boost of the weekend.
The thing is, I didn't get to the All-22 yet this week for the Steelers game, but the guy who looked the best on their D-line this week was Stephon Tuitt. So, like, if he's looking the best that week, and then they have obviously the other guys on that line, yeah, they're not a bad team. Hey, they're not a bad team. All right, there's Texans at Titans. Titans are -3.5. Is there any letdown off of the Bills game, and maybe the Texans are rolling or maybe starting something here? Is anybody seeing that?
I think Tennessee's so well coached that I think they'll just go on to the next game. You know, I mean, and they do what they do. Here's the scary part about Tennessee. Henry hasn't been, other than just jacking up Josh Norman, Henry hasn't done anything to create. I mean, he hasn't been a 100-yard rusher yet. He hasn't done anything, really. They haven't run behind him. It's been Tannehill and those receivers and their play calling. So, I mean, Houston's defense, to me, worries me. Although Houston's had this, they've kind of played well. Houston's a little healthier than Tennessee. I had this as a 6-point game that they should be favored by 6-2-5. Oh. The line's 3.5. Oh. You know, I like
that's going to be a game you play, huh? That's going to be a game you play.
I might, yeah. I mean, depending on the injuries and all that. I mean, that's one I think you got to look at. Houston always plays them well. And look, Houston matches up offensively against them.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Simmons is back this week for Tennessee, which is significant. He's one of the best defensive tackles in football. And this line hasn't played very well all year. They should be able to pressure Deshaun.
Oh, man. And they didn't practice for 2 weeks. They're pretty fresh coming off that game against the Bills. Ready to start.
Yeah, they were fresh last week, boy.
Yeah. I think this might be a game I like a lot. Not because the Texans. I love the Texans. I like the emotional win for Romeo Crennel last week and all that. But if you're telling me that the Texans' D-line not great?
No.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you look at the Texans, they don't really get much. They can't get much pressure on the quarterback. And so when you break them down in terms of, okay, their O-line's ranked 30th in terms of allowing pressures. Their defensive line is 7th in the league, sack per pass play. You know, so they're able, but they give up. There's 27th, they're 17th in the league in yards per pass attempt by the defense. Whereas Tennessee's numbers are really good all across the board. Tennessee, they're 30th in the NFL in sacks per pass play. They don't get much pressure.
How about against the rush there, Texans?
The Texans' run defense is not very good. I mean, 24th. Buffalo should have run the ball. I think they were like 31st in the league.
No, so here we go. For the Texans, if the Texans' run defense isn't great, and coming off this game that we just had, even though Derrick Henry hasn't, like, busted open for a big game yet, that mentality of just the D-line having to take it every single play and the offensive line going at them, this feels like a very good game, especially if you're telling me 6.5 is where you have it at. It feels like this Titans team, which I've talked into myself saying, give a lot more credit to this Titans team. I also have them up in that upper echelon of the AFC. I think this is a game I will take, Titans -3.5. I think this is a class. It's at home, too, so they'll have, what, another 9,000 fans in the stands? They don't have to travel. I like the Titans a lot here, especially if you're telling me that they're against the rush isn't great. And look for Derrick Henry to have a big game. Look for this to be the game after the stiff arm. Maybe he found himself. He loved the hype. Here we go. Bang, bang, bang. They're wide open. Then A.J. Brown catches over 7 people. Yeah, I like the Titans.
Gumpy's laughing at me because before the show, I told him I was probably going to take the Texans this week.
Oh, really?
You two are on the Titans. So.
Well, I'm only doing that strictly because of what the information I just learned from my Pison friend over there that has a zipper up on it. In the middle.
Titans have 475 yards per – they give up 475 yards per carry. And the Texans give up 475. And the Titans only average 376 running the football, and they're undefeated. Think about that now.
Yeah, as far as rushing defenses in this game, Tennessee is the worst in the league, and Houston is 24th. So, but yeah,
who's a better run team?
Tennessee.
I like.
Well,
this.
You would think so, not by the numbers, but you would think they are.
Well, that's because everybody knows that they're going to run the ball. So it's like Tannehill does benefit from the fact that the other team has to have a loaded box. So in the back end, he's wide open, which is awesome. He's been taking advantage of it. But at some point, Derrick Henry, the defensive end that plays running back, is going to pop open, and it's probably this weekend. And I love the Texans. Hey, you run a bad coach out of town. I like what you got going on, but I don't think there's much you could do this weekend.
The last game that I want to talk about is the 4:25 on Sunday. It's basically by itself. There's another 4 o'clock game, but I think it stinks. I can't remember what exactly it is. Packers at Bucks +1. The line did some weird thing. Gumpy, wasn't it last week like
It opened at -2.5 to the Packers, and then it closed real quick. It went away, and then it came back at -1.
So I have it. It started at Packers plus on this website, Packers +3, and now they're -1. What do you think about this game, Michael?
I had the Packers having a 113 power ranking and the Bucks a 119. So it was a pick'em game for me. Okay. And that's what it ended up being. It's going to be a pick'em game where you do. I'm leaning towards Green Bay, but I'm worried about the fourth quarter and the heat and humidity down there. strange things happen in Tampa with that heat and humidity, especially a team from the north. You can't really prepare for it. I mean, and once you lose your gas, it's over. So I'm going to keep pondering it. The Packers are healthy. I think the Bucs are still a little beat up. And with Vitae not being in there in the defensive front, I think that hurts them. I don't know if I want to go against Aaron Rodgers. You know, who's the better quarterback? Brady's got the name. But I think that, you know, Rodgers is the better quarterback here, and Davante Adams is going to play. So I'm leaning right now. I haven't made a pick, but I'm leaning towards Green Bay.
Packers also great coming off a bye, 9-3-2, their last 14 against the spread.
It's because Aaron camps out on his property.
Yeah.
What were they last year, though, since LaFleur has been the coach for, do you know what it is last year? Because that would be something I would like to look up. Well, I'm saying 9-3-2. I mean, what is that? Fucking
Aaron Rodgers, baby. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters, Aaron Rodgers, dude.
Hey, that's number all you'd 12, say. Dude. That's all you'd on, say.
I'm just, I'm,
Tuesdays. We're just dude, in this office.
I'm on? Just tired of waiting for the Bucs to show up. You know what I mean? Well, you keep betting on them, and it's just not happening. I can't do it anymore.
I am excited to see Green Bay go up against a good defense.
Todd Bowles' defense.
Todd Bowles is a good coach. Todd Bowles should be a head coach in the NFL. He's a really good coach. He just needs the right GM with him, and he's a good coach.
What? Are you that GM? Maybe you guys go down to Houston.
No, I'm done being a GM.
Come on.
Too much stress.
No, it's not that. It's just that they don't want old guys in the league. They want young guys. They don't like experience. They want, you know, because most of the presidents want to be the GM. They want to run the team. You know, they want to do it when somebody else is. If somebody becomes their, you know, they do whatever they tell them to do and take all the blame for it.
Yeah.
That's a tough position to be in right there.
Tell you what.
I mean, that sucks. Who would want to do that? I don't think that's anything I would want
to
do.
No. Do you guys have anything else before we get out of here today?
I did sprint in here fresh out of a meeting. I was a little bit late. I apologize. And I did not get a chance to piss. I do have to piss very, very
go
bad.
Go ahead.
No. Stick it out.
No. Michael, we appreciate you. All I have to say is we'll be back.
We'll make it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hey, send me an email. Send me emails. I'll send everybody this list.
I'll text you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Bye, Zod. Ciao. Grazie.
Hey, don't forget your survivor pick tomorrow.
He's gone. He's got
by the
shit
way,
to do.
We got a pinky ring to the winner of Survivor. It's nice too.
Should it now? Since you showed me that pinky ring.
Oh, you think I should not have showed you?
No. I'm wondering. I feel like weekly that should potentially change hands.
Oh yeah. Because like whoever does best in the picks that for that week gets to wear the pinky ring on the episode all week.
That's what I think. Because we have to buy one for him to have at his house, right? Because we can't ship it to him every single time. So we have to buy one for him to have if he ever wins it. He has not come close thus far, but at some point his power rankings will hit and he will trust them. His big issue is Andrew. I think Lombardi's going to figure it out. He'll probably have the pinky ring a lot, but it'll be at his house, you know, so he can only wear it whenever he wins. But like the survivor pool, like.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
You're 1,000% right.
No, but I was on your side for the survivor pool pinky ring. But the more and more I think about it with how nice it is, that son of a bitch should get showed off.
It should be between one of us four.
Leader
in the clubhouse.
Yeah. So let's get that. When is that? Is that thing getting?
Well, it's prime. It may be here tomorrow.
Oh, okay, good.
So maybe
I get it for a weekend.
If not, it'll be here next week.
Not good, because then I can potentially.
You don't have confidence in yourself? You do.
Yeah, no,
you do.
I had the right pick. I had the right pick with the Titans, and I'll let you guys talk me out of it. I'm worried I'm too nice, too much of a team guy to potentially want to win this thing at this point. I'm worried I've lost my fastball.
We will be back tomorrow with all the picks. Send all that information to Gumpy at Hammer Don on Twitter and Instagram.
That was not COVID.
Nick's not happy with you because he did win the
– How dare you? I didn't even get a single congratulatory
that was pre-season.
Item, text, handshake, high five. I got nothing, and you're already trying to take the pinky ring away.
It was preseason.
There'll be two pinky rings.
Three pinky rings. All right, see you tomorrow. Hammer Don.